Hey, Planet Shakers, thanks so much for joining us. I'm so excited to be preaching today about the thought on the move. Do you know God is on the move? God is moving and God wants to move you. He wants to move on you. He wants to move in you. He wants to move you forward in life. Hey, I believe this message is going to bless you. Open your heart, open your mind. Let's go. I don't know if you grew up in church at all, or if you grew up in a church like this where we want to make full room for the Holy Spirit. We believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. But I want to let you know, I did not grow up in a church like this. I grew up in a church where we would go and hear someone speak every week, but to be honest, it was more like a lecture. And I didn't encounter the presence and the power of God until I was about almost 17 years of age. And can I tell you, if you don't grow up seeing Holy Spirit moving, it's different. When you walk in and you're 17 and you see the Holy Spirit moving, it's weird. I walked into a Planet Shakers conference, I saw Pastor Russell up on stage, he'd blow on people. They'd fall over. That's different. If you've never grown up seeing that, can you imagine the thoughts that are going on in your head? If you're a visitor here today and you've never been in a church like this, you're probably wondering, what is that guy talking about? Why are people's breaths so bad that they fall over? It's a different deal when you walk into an environment where the Holy Spirit moves. And when I came in, I didn't really know what was going on. To be honest, I'd sit up the back and I would encounter God and I didn't understand what was happening. To be honest, it felt fine. I said, well, I can't explain what's happening, but something about this feels good. But it felt good from a distance, if you know what I'm saying. I was quite happy to let other people have the power of the Holy Spirit. I just wanted to play it safe. If they were falling over, I didn't know why they were falling over. I wasn't particularly fond of falling over. I thought, I'm just going to stay back here. About a year after I got saved, I was at another conference, a different conference. And I was playing in the band of that conference. I loved the Lord. I loved the idea of the power of the Holy Spirit. And I loved other people getting touched by the power of the Holy Spirit. Let me just tell you, there was some crazy stuff going on at this conference. But I was standing behind my bass. I was very safe behind an instrument. All of a sudden, the preacher decides, there's so many people that have responded to the altar call. I'm going to get the band to come down and help catch. If you're a visitor, you're like, what are you catching? People. We were catching people and we're falling from the roof. What happened is the preacher would pray for them, they'd fall over and we'd catch them. I'd never caught someone before. No one had ever fallen on me and I had to catch them. I'm like, this is weird. And there I was, I had to learn to catch someone. And I'm telling you, I was nervous. I was walking up the front, like I came down off the stage, I put my bass down and I'd enjoyed the power of the Holy Spirit from a distance, but I was nervous of Holy Spirit. All of a sudden, I had to be caught up in the thick of it. I mean, I was so nervous, I felt like I could lay an egg. I was like, what's about to happen? And so there I was. I lined up behind this woman who was responding to the altar call. And I mean, this is just a fact. It's not a judgment. It's a fact. She was a little heavier set. It's just a fact. It's not a problem. No judgment. And there I was, I lined up behind this woman and I was ready to go. I was ready to catch. I mean, I don't know what it means to catch someone, but there I was, lined up behind this woman, ready to catch. Now, there was a problem. There she was standing there and I noticed straight away, she was wearing like some kind of satiny material. I don't know if you've noticed this, but boys wear pretty much one of two fabrics, cotton and a leather jacket. That's all we wear. We don't wear satin. And so there was this woman in a satin shirt. I mean, that thing was so slippery, if you were a 10-pin bowling ball, it would have been perfect. But there she was wearing this satin top and I'm getting ready to catch her and the preacher comes, lays his hand on her. She starts coming back towards me. I'm like, I got this, I got this. She hits my arms. I'm like, I don't got this. This top's too slippery. She went down hard. She was out. I mean, I did the best I could, but she was on the floor. I'm like, God, I don't know if she's knocked out by the power of the Spirit or just knocked out because she hit the floor so hard. It's like, my goodness, but no one really seemed to notice. The meeting kept going. I'm like, all right, not a problem. Meeting kept going. I kind of let a few other people do some catching for a bit. And I thought, well, I better do my job. And so I lined up behind the second person. And there she was, and she had a normal material top on, praise God. She's had some kind of cotton top on. I mean, I can't really remember it. And she was just this lovely, nice enough looking middle-aged lady. I thought, fantastic. And there I was. I lined up behind her. I was square behind her. Check. No slippery top. Check. Preacher was coming. I was ready to go. My arms were out. Check. I'm like, God, I got this. Holy Spirit, I can handle your power. Come on, somebody. And the preacher starts praying. She just started swaying. The Holy Spirit started moving. She kept swaying. And then it happened. She started falling. I'm like, come on, this is the moment we've been waiting for. It was just one problem. She started falling forwards. I'd never caught anyone successfully, let alone someone falling forwards. I'm like, God, what do we do? I was not well practiced at this. I was not experienced at catching people. And she's going forwards. I'm like, oh, dear Lord, we can't let her fall on her face. And so I grabbed her shoulders, just her shoulders. I mean, I was thinking quickly, but I didn't make any mistakes there. And so I grabbed her shoulders and I started to break her fall. I'm like, at least she's not going to hit the ground hard. That's good. But then this thought hit my head. I'm like, well, I can't let her land on her face. You can't let her land on her face. And so as I'm holding her shoulders and dropping her forward, I just began to turn her over. And there I was holding this falling lady, and I broke her fall, and I managed to turn her onto her back. It was a success. There was only one problem left. In the course of putting her down gently and putting her on her back, I had lost my footing and had no balance left. Yeah. Yeah. Has life ever gone into slow motion for you? I mean, has that ever happened? There I was over this lovely, nice enough looking middle-aged woman who was now on the floor, facing up at me. I had no balance left. I had no one that was there to catch the catcher. And so I just fell face first onto this. I was just on top of this woman. I was like, Lord, help me find an appropriate place to put my hands. I was like some petrified puppy dog trying to learn how to swim. Like, this was not a good encounter with the power of the Holy Spirit. This was my first time in the thick of it. No wonder I was nervous. Look at all the things that can go wrong. If you have never encountered the power of the Holy Spirit before, it can be different. It can be very different. You know, the Holy Spirit wants to move in your life today. I'm praying before you walk out of these doors that no one ends up laying on top of you. But He still wants to move in your life. Do you know, I was so afraid of encountering the power of the Holy Spirit because I didn't know what would happen to me. And I went into that moment nervous. And every time I was near, I don't know if you've ever done this, but you know, when you're near a preacher and the preacher's praying for people or the preacher's scanning the crowd, you're like, don't pick me, don't pick me, don't pick me. Because you're not quite sure what's going to happen in that moment. And I was approaching an encounter with the power of God with great nervousness. And I was actually, to be honest, I was afraid. So I didn't know what would happen in my life. I encountered the presence of God, but the power of God I was a bit afraid of. Do you know, God does not want you to be afraid of Him. The Holy Spirit does not want you to be afraid of Him. When you come into contact with the greatest power known to mankind, the greatest power in all the universe, it's normal that something would happen. If I grabbed a metal object and put it into a PowerPoint, there would be a reaction. I do not suggest you try that. When you come into contact with the power of the Holy Spirit, there may be a reaction, but you've got to understand this about the nature of God. God is love. God is good. He is no one or nothing to be afraid of. He has all the power in the world. He has more than all the power in the world, but there's nothing to be afraid of. He's good. He is love. It's not that He does lovely things. No, He is the essence of love. He is the essence of good. So when we come into His presence and into His power, We're encountering love. We're encountering goodness. And yeah, it's powerful, by the way. But it's good. Bible says this. I want to read a passage of scripture many of us would all know. Psalm chapter 23. Come on. You know, God wants to move you. God wants to move in you. God wants to move on you. God also wants to move you. He wants to propel you forward. God wants to move you forward. The Bible says this in Psalm 23. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I have all I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me." Somebody say, "He leads me." "Beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me." Somebody say, "He guides me." "Along right paths, bringing honor to his name. Even when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death," or it says the darkest valley, "I will not be afraid, for you are close." Somebody say, "You are close." "You are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessings." Praise God. Verse 6, the final verse. "Surely your goodness and mercy," or "your goodness and unfailing love, will pursue me." Somebody say, "Pursue me." "All the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever." You know, God is a God that is always on the move. Just in these 6 short verses, we hear about God leading us, guiding us, and pursuing us. In the same chapter of scripture, and to be honest, in the same moment of your life, he is both leading you from out front, he is guiding you from alongside, and he is pursuing you from behind with his goodness and his mercy. He totally encompasses your life. He absolutely surrounds every part of your being. He wants to lead you, guide you, and follow behind you. I'm gonna need some help up here. Andy, can you do me a favor? Can you find me 4 people? Yeah, just find me 4 people. Let's do it quickly. You can call them out from right there. 4 people. Is that right? Leading me, guiding me. Yeah, 4 people. 4 people plus you, Pastor Andy. Fantastic. One more. 4 people plus you. Plus you. BJ. BJ can come. There we go. All right. Here we go. Here we got Rima. And Ryan, you guys can stay back there, Rima and Ryan. Everyone else come forward. They're known as Rima and Ryan, but today we're gonna call them goodness and mercy. Andy, I want you to come here. Andy represents all of us. BJ, I want you to come right next to Andy. Simon. Simon is God. Looks good, doesn't he? Simon is God leading us. BJ is God guiding us. And Rima and Ryan is God's goodness and mercy pursuing after us. Andy represents all of us, which means when God moves forward, move forward, God. All of a sudden, God, that's God. That's all 4 of you is God. You got to guide him, which means you got to be right next to him. There we go. Here we got an illustration happening. Come on, somebody. You see, God at the same time is leading. Turn around and come back. He's guiding and he's pursuing. You guys are struggling, aren't you? If he turns the corner, you got to go all the way back up there and turn the corner. All right, that's good. Let's pause. Andy's got a good hold on this. You may think, how can God be here, here, and here all at the same time? The reason is God is not limited or restricted by time. We are, which is why here we are in the midst of God's manifest presence here. But in the midst of our trial and error and problem, God's already in the future, standing in the middle of our victory, our triumph, and our freedom. He's standing here in our future, looking back at our present, saying, "Hey, it's not a problem. Keep coming this way. Keep coming this way. It's all good. I know what's coming." And then there's God back here, old goodness and mercy. Goodness and mercy covering over every bit of the past of our life, so that when we're standing here and we turn around, we don't see our mistakes, we don't see our failure, we don't see our problems, we just see God's goodness and mercy following after us every step we take. We're surrounded by God. He's leading us, he's guiding us, he's pursuing us. But see, there are things in all of our lives that they try and get us to stay where we are. I love Psalm 23. It says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. It doesn't say, though I camp in the middle of the valley of the shadow. It says, I'm walking through it. Sometimes we've got to walk through some hard times that God promises that he's going to walk right along with us. But the mistake we make is sometimes God starts moving and we camp here in our grief and in our hurt. Hold up, God. Sometimes there are things in life that cause us to stay where we are. Unforgiveness can cause us to stay where we are. Run back here for a moment. And here we are in the presence of God. We may come into church every week, but something happens during the week. I'm going to represent unforgiveness for a moment. And we carry unforgiveness with us into church, and God's here waiting for us with a God encounter. He's trying to move us forward. But unforgiveness, because we're holding onto unforgiveness, it's holding us back. It's linking us back to an event in our past. And while we're pursuing God, we're holding ourselves back. You know, I once heard someone describe unforgiveness as drinking poison and hoping the other person dies. Sometimes things happen in life. Sometimes we get hurt because people genuinely do the wrong thing. But we're the only ones that can control what happens in our heart. We can't control in this world what other people do. And if we allow unforgiveness to set up camp in our heart, then we have tied ourselves back to an event in our past that while God's wanting to move us forward, we keep tying ourselves back. There are other things in life. Some things try and make us stay where we are. Other things are trying to pull us off course. Here's God trying to say, trust me, I know the way to go. But we don't trust God, so we go off in a different direction. Sometimes there's hurt that happens. It's like, God, why don't you stop me being hurt? I went through this thing in life and I was praying, but I was still hurt. Why didn't you stop me being hurt? And we go off in our own direction. There are things in life that will try and make us stay where we are. There's other things that will try and pull us off course. You know, someone else that pulls us off course. It's where we get our intimacy from. God's here waiting with an encounter that will fulfill us like nothing else can. But because we're busy getting our intimacy from social media, our intimacy from a Snapchat, our intimacy from a relationship with someone else, all of a sudden here we are off course getting our intimacy from something else while God is there waiting with everything that we need. Good job, everyone. Do you know God wants to move you forward? God wants to take you somewhere in life. God is a God that is always on the move. You may ask, how do you know that, Pastor Rudy? So glad you asked. God's a God that's always on the move. Check this scripture out. It says in 1 Corinthians 9, it's the Apostle Paul writing. He says, thank you. It's in 1 Corinthians 9. He says, the Apostle Paul says, don't you realize that in a race, everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize. So run to win. All athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away, but we do it for an eternal prize. So I run with purpose in every step. You see, this race that God has for you, you're not racing against the person next to you. You're racing to take a hold of everything that God has laid up waiting for you. You want to stay with God to step into everything he's got for you. You see, God wants to move you forward. I want to prove it this other way too. Pastor Russell preached this last week, Acts chapter 1, verse 8. It says, you will receive power. Somebody say power. Power. You receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you'll be my witnesses telling people about me everywhere. You see, Jesus sent his Holy Spirit to be with us. To do what? To do something. Not just to receive it and enjoy it, but to do something. To do what? To be his witnesses. Do you know in the Bible, check this out. In the Old Testament, the word for spirit is the word, it's a Hebrew word, ruach. And in the New Testament, the word for spirit, it's a Greek word, it's pneuma. And both those words are different words in different languages, but in the Bible, we translate it as Holy Spirit or Holy Ghost. But do you know what a more strict translation of both of those words turns out to be? Wind or breath. A literal translation of that word is holy wind. Do you know the wind can't be the wind unless it's moving? If the wind is not moving, it's not wind at all. It's actually just air. Which means the nature of the Holy Spirit is he wants to move in your life. The Holy Spirit is always on the move. That's his nature. It's the wind of God. is the breath of God. He's getting ready to come and blow in your life tonight. Nikki, you can come. He's getting ready to blow through this meeting. Holy Spirit's getting ready to move in this place. You know, in the book of Genesis, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And then it goes on in verse 2, and the earth was formless and without void, and the Holy Spirit was hovering over the earth. Do you know what that word hovering means? It means moving, and it means shaking. Do you know the Holy Spirit was shaking the planet before planet shakers ever existed? That 1996, when God showed up and spoke to Pastor Russell, start a conference and call it Planet Shakers, he was just saying, start a conference in the nature of the Holy Spirit. He's been his nature since the very beginning. It was his nature in 1996. It's still his nature today to come and shake the planet, to come and shake the world, to come and shake your life. He's a spirit who wants to move in your life. God wants to move. He wants to move in you. He wants to move on you. And He wants to move you. Holy Spirit wants to move in this place tonight. I don't know if you've ever heard this saying before. It's a bit of an old school saying, so many of you might not have heard it, but if you ever heard the saying, if you're down in the doldrums, it means like you're down in the dumps. Just a bit depressed, you know. It's a saying, is down in the doldrums. I'd always known it as a saying, but I read this week, the doldrums is actually a geographical location in the world. What happens is there's this place near the equator where the northern hemisphere trade winds are blowing one way. The southern hemisphere trade winds are blowing the other way. And when they meet at this place, they cancel each other out. And it's a place of no wind. Years ago, before there were motorized boats, there were boats that would just sail around. And if by mistake, someone was to take their ship into the doldrums, they would die because there's no wind. And there was no wind to get them out of that place. You see, where there is no wind, things die. Where there is no wind, we will die. Bible says, we're dead to our old nature, but alive in Christ. But when there's no wind, maybe we're dead to our new nature and back alive to sin. You see, where there's no wind, we'll die. If there's no wind in our life as Christians, we're going to die. If there's no wind in our, we don't have what we need to survive. You know, crazy, I looked this up. If there was ever a place of no wind, it's not just out in the ocean. Sometimes over populated areas, it's what when the wind stops blowing, it's what's called air stagnation. The air goes stagnant. What happens over a populated area, your life, what happens when the wind stops blowing, there is air stagnation. And two things happen. One, there's no wind to blow the pollution away. And so all of a sudden the pollution builds up and there's a haze. What else happens is there's no wind to blow the moisture away. And so the moisture begins to build and a fog rolls in that does not clear. So you cannot see and you cannot breathe. Do you know where there's no wind in your life? That's air stagnation. What happens is all of a sudden things get so dark you can't see. And all of a sudden there's so much toxicity around you that you can't live properly. Where the wind doesn't blow in your life, you don't have vision and your environment is toxic. And the Holy Spirit wants to come and blow in your life today. He's blowing open some vision in your life. He's blowing open some toxic things in your life. God wants to move in your life. He wants to move on your life. And God wants to propel you forward. God wants to take you somewhere. God's getting ready to blow open a vision in your life. He's getting ready to blow away the toxicity that might have been building up. There's toxicity in your mind. Sometimes in our heart, these things can build up. All over this place where we stand to our feet. If we don't have the wind, if we don't have the breath of the Holy Spirit moving in our lives, we lose our vision. Our environment becomes toxic. God wants to move in your life today. He wants to move on your life today. God wants to move you forward, I believe, with all my heart, this season we're in right now. That God is pushing us forward. The wind of the Spirit is blowing us forward. that God is taking us forward, propelling us at an accelerated rate. And maybe where you are, you know there are things that are holding you back. There are things that are taking you off course. Holy Spirit is here today in this moment. He wants to come and blow through your life. He wants to clear the fog and give you a vision. He wants to clear the toxicity in your mind, in your heart, in your body. Today, He wants to move you forward. Thanks so much for joining us today. We pray that this message blessed you. We pray that the Holy Spirit filled you and touched you and surrounded you with His love wherever you may be watching this or listening to this. Hey, we'd really love it if you could come and join us on social media. You can follow us at Planet Shakers. Why don't you send us an email or a praise report, things that God has done in your life. Also, check out our brand new music, Legacy, available on iTunes. We love you. We'll see you next week.